This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hub Arkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score's senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Arkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Big top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch your Central Division champion, Chicago Wolves, as they battle Grand Rapids in the first round tonight and Saturday at 7 at Allstate Arena. For playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Hub Arkish can be found on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. He of The Score and Pro Football Weekly, who joins us now in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Hub. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. I'm noticing, too, as the schedule has come out and we have these, as the NFL has created yet another holiday and it's schedule release time, Bears are America's damn team. You know, I don't want to hear anything from them this year about the doubters or the disbelievers or we're proving everybody wrong. It looks like the NFL really likes the Bears.
Well, I think that when you look at not only the statistics of that defense, but the way it dominated and won games, it was one of the most impressive defenses we've seen in the last 5-10 years. Those 37 takeaways, that's the big deal. You know, that's where the focus is. And it's kind of like, you know, when you look at the schedule and you say, hey, this is tough. You know, they could be a better team and only win 9 or 10 games. When you look at great defenses and they keep you, you know, they hold you down to rushing and this and that, and you know, but when they take the ball away the way the Bears did, that's what everybody wants. That's great theater, that's good television, and that's why they got basically 6 primetime games if you count Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I do. And Hub, I know, or at least we've always been told that there's horse trading when it comes to this schedule. You know, we got to keep this date open or the marathon's here and all that kind of stuff. Bears had to do a favor for the NFL, it seemed, last year in playing 3 games in so many days like they did. Usually you get that back some. Were they not able to, it seems like they weren't able to get any help on this schedule because they were so good last year, because everybody wants them to be on national television like this.
Connor, I don't know if I buy that horse trading theory. I mean, it is what it is. And you got to remember, going into last year, the Bears were as low as they are high right now. I mean, nobody cared about them. That was the way the schedule fell. And nobody expected those games to be as relevant as they were. And, this schedule doesn't have any of that. I mean, you get back-to-back Thursdays and then still get the mini bye after the second Thursday. You get the bye after the trip to London. It's a tougher schedule because you're a better team and you're playing a first place schedule. But in terms of, you know, some of the logistics of it and some of the problems it can cause, I don't find it all that unreasonable. They've only got the one Monday night game. You know, they put the others on Sunday. So, it's that murderer's row in the middle. You know, it's coming out of the bye and then back to back to back. You get the Saints and the Chargers and the Eagles, and then you get the Lions, and then you get the Rams. I mean, those 5 games right in the middle are going to dictate where this team is at the end of the season.
Do you know what Matt Nagy's expectations are for this particular voluntary workout season? What's okay and what's not, and where he is on what voluntary means?
There isn't a coach in the NFL, Dan, who understands the meaning of the word voluntary. I mean, you know, they know, they get it. It's a contractual thing. But in their minds, if you're not there, you don't care enough. I don't know how I could put it any. I mean, you know, some are brighter than Tom Coughlin and don't come out and raise a stink over it. But that was one of my favorite Wani stories of all time. I think you've probably heard it. Actually, you may have been on the beat at that time. We were at the old Hallis Hall, and we're out on the field. And this was just when they were getting into this. And it was the first day of voluntary something. I can't remember if it's mini camp or, you know, they didn't have OTAs. It must have been a voluntary mini camp. And Wani comes over and he says, okay, really good day. There were only 2 unexcused absences, Kevin Butler and somebody else. Can't remember who the other one was. And I looked at him. I said, Dave, what's an unexcused absence at a voluntary practice? You know, and he kind of was flustered for a minute. He's like, well,
come on, Hub.
And that goes back 25 years. I mean, they expect these guys to be there. And more to the point, these players have to understand that if you're not there, you're falling behind, you know. And so I can't imagine Matt Nagy views it any differently than anybody else.
It's funny because we asked it of Ian Rappaport yesterday, and he answered oppositely. He said, it doesn't matter, nobody really cares, and he used Khalil Mack as an example of somebody who didn't need an actual training camp, let alone a voluntary workout. He said that the pendulum has swung back to the point where, unless you are Tom Coughlin, most of these guys get it, even if they, you know, in a private moment, obviously might want everybody there all the time.
Yeah, most of these guys have lists of who they trust and who they don't trust in terms of, if they're not there, are they working out, will they be in shape? But I don't know one who doesn't want all of his guys there. It's team building. It's chemistry. It's all the things you hear about. It's not so much that they have to have their strength and conditioning people with their hands on these guys. And the other thing that is misunderstood here, they're not out practicing every day. The OTAs are really the only time they're on the field. And they're not allowed, there's restrictions on to how much coaching they can get. A lot of this is just weightlifting, and then the guys decide to go out and throw the ball around afterwards. So it shouldn't be that big a deal, but you know, guys, everybody I know, they're grinders. You know, they want as much time as they get. They want 367 days in the year, and they want them out there. And I'm sure that Matt Nagy wants all his guys there.
So to my mind, Hub, there are three likely outcomes for Josh Rosen, the Cardinals, and subsequently Kyler Murray. Josh Rosen stays, he goes before the draft, or he goes on draft day. What's the most likely outcome to you?
Well, you know, it's all about value, and his value is greatest before or on draft day. If they draft Kyler Murray and Rosen is still there, then they got a real issue because they ain't both going to be there on opening day, and or they shouldn't be anyway. That would really the whole thing is kind of crazy, and I think what's happened is the Cardinals, from the teams I talked to, they're just finding out that, you know, Rosen's value isn't what they want it to be. You know, you've got a situation there. Steve Keim has the ear and the trust of Michael Bidwell, who is now running the football team. But last year, you traded a 15 in the first round, a third rounder, and a fifth rounder to come up and take Rosen at 10. Now, 1 year later, you're just going to throw all that away and throw the number one overall pick on a guy who's a questionable prospect? I mean, it's a fascinating situation to watch here. And you know, the idea, what does it say about their new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, if he needs a specialist to run his offense? Yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray's the only guy who can run the air raid offense. Why can't Josh Rosen, you know, run it? It's not about a running quarterback. Murray is a great athlete, you know, and he can run. So much of this makes so little sense, you know. And so if you're a team that's going to trade for Josh Rosen, you're saying to yourself, okay, we knew there were questions about the kid last year. Now it's a year later, and the team that took him can't wait to get rid of him. And so if they want Kyler Murray, they're going to have to bite the bullet on Josh Rosen. You're not going to give him away. You know, some will probably give you a third-round pick, you know, maybe a 2 and a 3, something like that, if they want him bad enough. But that's the other issues. You've got this kid with – and I don't know that he's a bad kid. I'm not saying he's got, you know, personality problems or issues, but the report has been that he's tough to be around. And so how much do you want to give up to bring that into your locker room with all the uncertainty? Plus, he didn't play all that well. Now, that part of it's not fair because, you know, rookie quarterbacks, especially on awful teams with a head coach who only lasted a year, you can't expect him to do much, but he didn't. And so they have really terribly diminished Rosen's value in this process, maybe accidentally, and I think that's probably causing part of the problem for him.
Back to the Bears for a second with Matt Nagy going into what he views as, what do you call the 200-level courses now that he started out. He used the analogy of being the intro courses in college. Is there a danger of accelerating too quickly? Is there a danger of assuming that's like, okay, got 1 year in, here's all of it now, here's everything? Do they still have to be mindful of the speed at which they are layering in some of what he wants to do?
Well, I think there's a plan, but I don't think there's a danger. I mean, it's not like they're going to add a ton more to the playbook. The playbook's all been there. They only focused on being really great at some of it and using that more and keeping some of it in their back pocket. But this also gets back to your question about wanting these guys in there. I mean, you know, this is, again, it's time to work on that playbook. Look at film, whiteboard time. It's legal practice time. They're not allowed to even talk to them from the end of the league year until this past Monday. And so that's another reason that they want them there so much. And then, you know, they start to expand on it and they figure out what guys can handle and what they can't handle. And, you know, in the case of Matt, it's just that his playbook, you know, because he has so much fun with it, and that's not why he does it. He does it because he wants to win. But because he's got so much of this extra trickeration, if you will, you got to figure out how much you want them focusing on at one time. But no, I think the first year is the real issue, is how far can you bring them, how quickly? And the second year is where you really, you know, kind of become specialists with certain stuff, and then you add some pieces, hopefully, that other teams aren't doing. It's very much, I think the transition that Bears fans and people watching the Bears are looking for is exactly what you saw with the Rams last year, where they came out of nowhere in 17. The offense, nobody could believe what Sean McVay did. And the following year, it's not that the stats got that much better, but in key situations and winning football games, they had more offense, were able to make more plays, got the drive to tie the game in New Orleans after the missed call. You know, and those are the things that you're focused on now, is how much better can you get at what you were already doing, not that they're going to add that much more.
Read something from Matt Nagy that mentioned that he'd like to have Mitchell Trubisky just kind of call a series or just kind of run it on his own, maybe in OTAs, maybe even at camp. I wonder what the end goal is for that, because you mentioned the trickeration, the level of offense that Matt Nagy calls things at. It would be difficult in-game for Mitch to call his own plays, because in Nagy's offense, you're shuttling so much personnel in and out, aren't you? I mean, I'm sure the goal of this is just make sure that Mitch has done the work and is comfortable in the offense, but is there a real live game application for something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime you're in no huddle or hurry up, I mean, you know, you can try talking to him on that headset, but especially if you're in hurry up, you don't have 15 seconds or 20 seconds to wait for the play. You know, you throw a play, you get to the line, you throw the next one. And so that's the idea, is to make him as comfortable with A, the whole playbook, and B, you know, calling plays at any time that he has to. It's even a question of, you know, sometimes when they give you two plays and a check with me, you know, and getting him more comfortable with which one's going to make more sense. And so all the great ones do it. You know, I mean, towards the end of their careers, now with Brady, with Manning, you know, they could call the whole game if you wanted them to. Aaron Rodgers apparently was calling the whole game, you know. So it makes perfect sense that for a young quarterback, you want to bring him along slowly, but it's one more thing you'd like him to be able to do.
Are you hearing anything notable about the Bears' approach to the draft outside of what we've already heard and knowing where they're picking and where they're not?
No, I mean, nobody's really focused on them right now because they started 87. I know there's a couple teams that they've talked to get a feel for where each other are at, you know, and, you know, you're always going to do that. I think from a fan and a media perspective, you know, what they say about those of us who fail to learn from history, Ryan has made a pretty big trade almost every year since he's been here in the draft, you know, and so I'm hard pressed to see him standing pat at 87, but I don't think he's going to start unloading a number of next year's picks, you know, to come up and do something dramatic. I could see them maybe getting higher in the third round, maybe getting into the back of the second round by using one of those twos this year on the same theory they used last year, you know, that they got Anthony Miller a year sooner, because they do have a couple extra later round picks, and they will get a couple compensatory picks, probably late ones, maybe a six or a seven, but you know, Amos and Callahan are going to be worth something to him next year. So, you know, maybe moving up into the back of the second round, higher in the third round, but unlikely you'd see anything more than that.
You're going to be very, very busy with the Scores draft coverage Thursday, April 25th. It's you and Pompey, Manley, Greg Gabriel live in the Score studios, Mark Grody at Hallis Hall from 6 to 10 p.m., and then we have multi-generational Arkush talent with Julie DeCaro and Arthur Arkush from 10 to midnight. Friday, Joe O in the Score studio from 6 to 8:05 p.m. Saturday, Joniak, Thayer, Haw, Hub, Pompey at Soldier Field from 10 to 3.
God.
That's on the 27th. Mark Grody live from Hallis, Julie and Maggie with Greg Gabriel from 3 to 6:35. Wall-to-wall stuff. And Hub, I know you're right in the middle of all of it.
It's fun, guys. I mean, this is not that the season isn't and the games aren't. They are. But this is kind of a unique holiday, as you mentioned at the top. And we know fans are into it. So hopefully everybody will enjoy it. And we'll have the best coverage for
it. All right. Speaking of holidays, have a great Passover, Hub.
Same to you guys. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.